Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show Uplifting Communities with John and Ms. J. And
hey.
Today, yeah, we were supposed to have a special guest. Her name is Ms. Shakina Robinson, but something happened, and so she's not going to be able to be the guest today, but the show must go on. And today what we're going to do, we're going to open up with a nice conversation. We're going to be talking about the communities, and if you guys want to join in, you guys more than welcome to press one and join the conversation. Okay, so but with that, I'm going to pass it on to Ms. J and let her open it up.
Absolutely. You know what, you guys? I want to talk about something that I got an email this week. And as a lot of people know that know me, know that I work towards children's safety. I do, you know, speak on that and everything. And I wrote a book on it as well. And got some other ones coming out. But one of the things I wanted to talk about today, I got it, not today, I think it was yesterday. My days run together, so forgive me. I got an email from a mom that was in Target. And I think a lot of times when we're in the stores, we're not really paying attention. We just think everybody is shopping and everybody's doing their thing and we're doing our thing. And sometimes we get too relaxed. Well, this gentleman, she just assumed this gentleman was shopping, and she turned and he grabbed her daughter. And she called me and thanked me because she used some of the techniques that I showed her. You know, of course, he got, you know, taken and, you know, arrested and everything. But I want to share that because we sometimes, as parents, we turn our backs to the baskets. We assume that people are just shopping. We just get too comfortable sometimes. And a lot of things don't always come on the news and television, and we don't always hear about it. But she was blessed where, you know, other people stepped up and it just really got shut down. But I just want to talk about being more aware of our surroundings and not being so comfortable. I'm guilty of that as well. I'll go in the store sometimes. The other day, a young lady said, I turned my back and left my purse sitting on the cart. I'm just not thinking, like, you know, and I think we all are guilty of that from time to time. So I just want to, you know, encourage the parents and all of us just to be more conscious of the people that are around us, especially when we have our kids. You know, we always think it doesn't apply to us. It's not our neighborhood. I never heard of that happening. Nobody I know before. But it's always a first time for everything. And that was actually her first time. And so, you know, I just wanted to bring that up because I'm really big on safety of kids and adults as well. But I think sometimes we're so busy living and we got so much on our minds. We got bills, we got relationships, we got bosses, we got jobs, we got, you know, just so many things on our mind that we get careless. So I just wanted to remind you guys to not be careless and to be more alert of your surroundings and pay attention and things like that. And because we can't afford to lose any more babies, they are our future. And we lose them at an alarming rate already every year. And I don't think a lot of black people realize that 50% of the kids that go missing every year are black kids. We don't get media attention. We don't get any support or help. We have two organizations, Missing in Black and bring them home, find them and bring them home. I believe it's one of them is part of Missing in Black. But we don't have a big audience looking for our kids, so it's really important that we protect them and just pay attention to our surroundings, and that's how I'm going to start it off. I'm sure John got something else, but I wanted to share that because it's really important. And when I read that, I was just like, my mouth was open because I'm, you know, you just don't ever think about that ever happening to you. I get emails all the time, and but that was kind of, that was somebody I personally knew that that happened to. So it kind of felt a little different when it's somebody you really know. So I just wanted to share that and just telling you guys as parents and guardians and big brothers and big sisters, when you got the little ones, pay attention. Everybody that smile and friendly, not always necessarily being friendly. You could be encased in these stores. So I just wanted to kind of share that because that was really important to me.
You know, Ms. J, that you are so right. You know, this is one thing that we miss it, that we are missing in the communities, is awareness of children being missed in the communities. Because, you know, and I wonder why, you know, sometimes I wonder, because like you say, there's a lot of kids is missing right there from our neighborhoods, but the parents don't say nothing. They go to the authorities, okay, but and let the authorities know that, hey, you know, my kid are missing, and then they say, and especially if it's a teenager, they say, well, you got to wait so many hours, I think it's, what, 24 or 48 hours, you know, but that's a long time.
Absolutely.
You know.
It is.
Yeah,
right.
It is, you know, and...
I didn't mean to cut you off, John, but, you know, I just want to say this because John is correct, 48 hours. And I last year someone inboxed me, and their son went from California to, I don't know, where it was really far, like Oklahoma something, in 24 hours. But I want to tell them, too, that you can always contact Missing in Black. They will jump on it immediately. And National Missing and Exploited Children, they will jump on it immediately. And that's why it's important to also for the parents to have ID kits. You know, when I have my events, I give those away free. I have an organization that works with me, and we actually give the parents everything they need. We do the fingerprinting. We give them the whole safety kit for free. And a lot of, I'm no disrespect to my own people, but a lot of Black people don't show up. It's a lot of, you know, Caucasian people and maybe Hispanic, just people from different countries. A lot of them show up. But I do it for, you know, children of color because we have the highest numbers. However, we don't seem to take that seriously. I think for some reason, John, we think it's a white thing. And you know what I mean? Like, we don't associate it to us. But that's why I think we are easier targets because, number one, we don't get the media attention, like you said. It takes the police a certain amount of hours to act, you know, do something by their standards. And not because they don't want to. I'm going to tell you, the volume that they have in missing children, they don't even have the staff to cover it.
That could be one of the reasons.
Yes.
But I'm saying, the information you just passed, most people, especially in your Black communities, they don't know who to contact but the police department. Now, if you're out there and if you're listening, write that down and take that information to your community centers.
Okay.
So you can put that up in your community centers, who to contact, because most people don't. I've never been to a community center where they have information where, you know, it just in case if your child is missing. I've never seen it. Maybe I missed it, but I never seen it. Those,
you know,
organizations, I never heard of those organizations before.
Yeah, and you know, like when you walk into Walmart's, I don't know about Target, but I know for a fact when you walk into Walmart, they have kids plastered on the wall when you walk through the door that say they're missing. And some of those kids have been missing for years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so I think it's important to know that. I try to keep that information in the forefront. And I know it's not a popular subject because everybody say we got so much. We got black on black crime. We got police officers killing black people. We have all these other issues that seem to trump the kids missing. But if we don't have any kids for a future, then all the things that we are fighting for are invalid.
That's right. You're right. You're 100% right. You know, I remember years ago when I was living in Oakland, they had, it was this house where I was, not too far from where I was living at. And that's when, that was in the 80s, the middle part of the 80s. That's when the drugs and stuff, you know, was really heavy,
right.
Especially in Oakland, California. Well, they're all over the United States.
It was real
pretty,
California.
And so they had this house, and this is where the missing kids, the runaways, the teenagers, they were staying in this house. And then what they was doing, they would go and get jobs, but their job was just to sell drugs.
Right.
They had the
right.
drug dealer, they had them on the streets. And this ain't something that somebody told me. This is something that I've seen. This is something that I actually know about, you know. And it's sad. And sometimes I wonder, you know, because we still have a lot of runaway kids out there, too.
Absolutely.
You know, yes, we have a lot, you know, of African-American kids that they're runaways. And they out here, they could be living right next door to your house with somebody. You know, with an adult male, and especially these girls these days, you know, like once they get 15, 16 years old, you can't, and if they put their makeup on and their clothes on, you can't really tell how old they are.
Absolutely, John. And you know that United States, we didn't used to be really like number one on anything regarding hurting children, but we're now number one in child sex trafficking. And we, you know, and people don't realize that we used to be other countries, and they take our kids and they sell them to other countries. That is a true fact, and that's still going on. However, the predators have gotten so, I hate to say good, but good at what they do, that that we have now became number one in sex trafficking for children. On top of that, we are number one in, you know, online predators. They don't no longer have to stalk your kids at schools or different playgrounds and things like that. Now they're pretending to be kids online and befriending people's kids and getting personal information. And one of the things you talked about as far as teenagers, you know, once they get a certain age, they're trying to discover themselves. And when they're in a household, you know, sometimes households are not that great. And they're running away from their problems, you know, and so they run into the hands of the predators, you know, and these guys, like you said, they have them selling drugs, they have them selling their bodies, they do so many different things to make money, and these young kids, they're either being, most of the time, they're threatened, they're scared, you know, it's not like they always want to do the bad things, but they don't have a choice. They're trying to survive. And I know a lot of people, you know, can say, oh, they can go here and they can go there, but for someone who's worked with them and handled these type of things, it's not always that easy to go get help. Number one, a lot of the young kids don't know what to say. And then number two, they're scared. Trust me, when they got you on the street and you're selling your body so he can eat, he has put the fear of God in you. You know, and
right.
then as far as, like, the drugs, that's easy money for some of the young cats. It's just not girls anymore. Even though the numbers are higher with girls, the numbers are getting higher with boys. They're selling young men. Young men are in the sex trade now. Boys, you know, and they're dealing with, I just read an article about the kids in the system of adoption. A lot of these people are adopting kids, and they're actually predators. Even with great background checks, you never know nobody's conscious or their spirit or what they really are. And you, they get these babies in the house, and they're abusing them.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of things that I think that we don't pay attention to. Like I said, I know we have a lot of other things going on in the community, but I just really think that that is something that we really, as a whole, should really, you know, just pay more attention to, you know. And like you said, John, like if you see a house or you see something that ain't right, you know, you don't necessarily have to say nothing. Maybe you can report it. Maybe you can watch it a little bit more and make sure it is what you think it is. But we cannot be silent, because it is the silence that's making our kids vulnerable to the predators, and it is our silence that keeps our numbers growing.
That's right, you know, that's right. And also, I don't know how true this is. You notice, you probably know more than I do, Ms. J. They were saying that we have to also watch our kids, especially black kids, and because they're stealing our kids and sending them for organ parts.
Well, that's been going on for a long time. And there's been, like, they also, like, say, for instance, a lot of people, well, let's I'm gonna back up a little bit. A lot of adults have actually sold their parts for money. It was a way at one time for certain people in certain parts around the world, they did that for income. And so, and the fact that they were doing that for income, it made it easier. And then what they would do was they would start looking for younger parts, or people start putting in orders, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were, you're absolutely correct, they will take babies, they will take kids. You know, people want a kidney, they're going to take your kidney, you know. And I think a lot of times we don't realize that it's a lot of danger that people have actually went to different countries and woke up with, you know, sold up with organ parts missing, and that is a fact.
Wow. Yeah. That's something else.
And you got to think about this too, John. It's $1 billion. It's $1 billion. You know, last time I looked at it, I think it was a 3-point-something billion-dollar business to sell children. And so when you think about that kind of money, and in the world that we live in, you can buy police officers. No disrespect to any officer out there, but they have been bought. You can buy the system. You know, you can do that. And with that kind of money, it makes it kind of easy sometimes, because if they got connections higher up, they're, you know, they got a protection. So that's why it's important to shake it up, you know, to speak up. Because the more we speak up, the less they can hide and less they can buy. Because we start busting everybody, then it is opportunity to, you know, to bring that to an end. Because it is really, really bad, and I don't think people really, really understand how bad it really is. Because, you know, we talk about like when they took the young girls in Africa. Everybody made a big deal about that, and please, no disrespect, because that was dead wrong. But, however, we don't get upset and mad when it's our kids here in the United States. We don't get mad. We don't blow up Facebook. We don't – you understand where I'm coming from? It is not the same kind of anger. And we have to be consistently angry, just like we're consistently angry about slavery. You know, you can hear about so many slavery stories on Facebook and black, white people this and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But we have to be – equally angry and equally vocal when it comes to our kids.
Right.
You're right, Ms. J.
We don't stay mad long enough, John. You know, we get mad when little incidents take place. You know, or we're fighting, or if something happened to one of our celebrity people that we like, oh, we just fighting and we're talking about, don't you do that to her, she a good one. You know, we do all these things. But when it comes to community, when it comes to survival of our community, because this is what it ends, this is what it's about, the survival. Because if we don't have kids, we don't have a future. A lot of us are up in age, we're maturing, we're not going to be here forever, and the kids are the future. And I think we need to be angry for our kids. No point in finger about what nobody ain't doing for us. For us to get out there and open our mouths and do for ourselves.
Right. You know, Ms. J, that is very, you're 100% right. But I wanted to talk about something, you know, and let the audience know. Well, you know, well, the talk show, Uplifting, with me, Jay, we've been on air now for, I would say, I know it's well over 2 years. Okay, we had a lot of great shows, and what we came up with the ideal of maybe expanding to Louisiana and expanding to other states. But I've been thinking for the last past maybe, I would say, 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, I've been thinking about other stuff. We're not going to do it right now, okay? But we might go back to just to myself and Ms. J doing the talk show on either a Saturday or a Sunday with just the regular platform and eliminate these other states. And the reason for that is because, you know, the talk show is getting big, I must say. But we have been having a lot of people coming on a talk show, you know, contacting us for, you know, to be part of Uplifting Community Talk Show. We let them in, but we don't want nobody to think that they're going to come on a talk show and use our platform to benefit themselves. And that's a no-no. So if you think that you're going to come on Uplifting Community Talk Show and be a host for Uplifting Community Talk Show just to benefit yourself, no, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. You got to be for the community. So I've been thinking about it. We've been brainwashing on it. Me and Ms. J, we talked about it once before. And you remember, Ms. J, we talked about it. Well, maybe we should just us continue doing the way we've been doing it and just eliminating Louisiana and Ohio and other states that wanted to come in. And we're going to rebuild the website. Okay. Well, it's easy to rebuild the website. I'll just take those states off of there. So, you know, I just wanted to, you know, you can share, if you don't mind, Ms. J, share your opinion on that.
I believe in expanding, and I believe that it's important to have other voices, different faces, but at the same time, I really believe that the community comes first. And for me, I never did this to be a celebrity. I did this to be informative, to keep conversation going, to bring awareness. So for me, it's not about anything else but that. Again, I don't know if it's, you know, the best interest not to all to expand, but I think the interest is having a like minds, people that are really dedicated to changing and uplifting their community. And so it's not a negative. It's not a negative, but it, at the same time, you kind of want a like minds with the same passion to bring change. And we have to be consistent in the change. And we don't want to be, sometimes you can move too fast and you go, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But you have to be humble enough to know and listen to what God is telling you versus what sometimes our egos or our man self tells us, our human self tells us. And when we started this, for me, it was I prayed on it because I wanted to make sure when I came in with the right purpose and with a purpose that matters. So for me, that's where I am, you know, this is really John's baby. He birthed it. I just helped him along with the birthing. You know, I was one of those mothers that help people birth their babies anyway. I can't think of that now. But so I was there for that, but I really wanted to be something that the community really can learn and grow from. And every time we have a guest, we learn and we grow. We learn something new. We learn something different. And I want that to be that for everybody. You know, I don't want it to I don't want us to become like other shows that change their platform for popularity and things like that. I want our, even if we are standing alone, I want our show to be what it's supposed to be. And it's supposed to
right.
be about community. It's not about John. It's not about me. God got me. God got John. We just want to make sure that we're giving our people, especially people of color, information that they don't know about, expanding their brains, making them think, stepping outside their box. All those type of things are really important, and I think that's what the show is really about for us. If, you know, again, if John always has the final say, he'll ask me, but he does have the final say. Whatever you he does, I will support, but I don't want anybody to think, oh, they, you know, we think we're too good for other people or anything like that, because we are far from that. But I want people that really want the best for their people, not the best for themselves, but the best for their people. Because if you bless somebody else, which has always been my learning experience, when I bless somebody else, I'm blessed. So I want that for the show, and I want that for whomever comes aboard, you know, in the future or whatever. And then also you have to set up a better structure. You know, we have to also make sure that we give them the proper tools to be successful at what we need from them. So, again, it was an idea John came up with. He thought it was a good one. And I still think it's a good one. I think sometimes you got to wait on God to bring you the right people. Everybody that come to you, that's not necessarily coming from God and coming from a place of, I guess, from a place of genuineness or a place from, I don't know if genuineness was a good word, but just from the right place, from the right heart and making the right moves and things like that. So whatever John decides, I will support it. But, again, we are not bashing anybody or saying to anybody that we have had has not lived up to anything. We're not putting nobody out there. We're just thinking about what is best for the show, for the community, and for the people.
Right. And that's exactly what I'm thinking about. What is best for the talk show and what is best for the community? Okay. We have been doing a fantastic job, just you and I, for the last past over two years. And we decided to do this. And, you know, like, and I think what it is that maybe, you know, we should, you know, the reason I'm thinking about pulling back from these states is because we need to start focusing on the proper equipment, the proper, you know, the getting people that's really dedicated to what they're doing and serious about what they're doing about this show. Because it's not about me. It's not about Ms. J, like she says. It's about the community, okay? I didn't bring nobody on to, you know, on a show to, you know, for them to shine or for us to shine or whatever. No. I brought them on to... So that way they can help the community, you know, get people to come on, let people know what's available in the communities to them. We did Louisiana talk show, and it was a beautiful talk show yesterday. I mean, this gentleman, he really laid it out. And what he does, he's the CEO of four community centers. Inner communities. And I thought that was so great that he came on, and it was a really good show. But most people, like he said, a lot of people in the communities don't know what they offering. You know? So this is, and that was Louisiana. And, but we need more, like I say, we need to really maybe kick back, you know, step back and really structure this uplifting community talk show in a good way, to where as though we can get the information to the people a little bit better. Okay? I think we can, to be honest with you, I think we can do a better job than what we're doing. And I don't want to say that we're not doing a good job. I think we can do a better job. And I hope that our listeners understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah, it's always room for growth. It's always room to be better. It's always room to learn. And whenever you're at a place where you know it all and you got it all figured out, then you really need to get on your knees, do a little praying, because we're all in a place of growth. And no one knows it all. Always someone knows something more than us. And for me, one of the reasons why I was excited with the expansion is because you get to learn from other people, because we don't all know everything, you know. And
that's right.
Everybody can contribute something. I think you could just, you know, I like the Louisiana show because it hits that part of the South and certain communities in Louisiana that I know people that even live out there as well as you do. We both got family and stuff out there. It's important that they know what's available to them. You know,
right.
And same thing with, you know, expanding to Ohio and all these different other places. Those are people that live in those areas. So to me, they have the advantage to really bring attention to their area. You know, it doesn't, you know what I mean? So for me, that is what I liked about the idea of the expansion. But there is times where sometimes you have to step back in order to move forward. So I totally understand where you're coming from. At the same time, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know? And so like I say, you know, maybe we can keep Louisiana and just us, or Ohio and Louisiana, whatever you decide to do. I, of course, I got your back. But if we learn to do that, you know, maybe just keep it a couple of cities and not make it really big, you know, and then concentrate on doing more community projects, do more fundraisers and food giveaways and helping kids get school clothes and shoes and more making, you know, concentrating more on those type of things. I think that also be an additional blessing, because I like variety, and you do too, because evidently you do, because you're the one came up with the idea to expand and get more people involved. So it's not, you know, I don't ever want anybody to think, oh, you know, they think they too good or whatever. It has nothing to do with that. It's about we get so sidetracked as people, as black people, and for me, I just want us to stay focused on what our goal is, and our goal is our people. And we sometimes we bring in other different races because we're not racist or in, you know, any kind of way. However, our goal is to make sure that we uplift our own. That's our major goal. That's our main goal. And even we have to go outside of our color to uplift us, that's what we do, because we want to make sure our people get it from all ends. Because if you don't get diversity in your education and diversity in your learning, sometimes you get mentally blocked and you get in your little box and you do not allow yourself to grow. And the biggest thing about the show is about growth.
Right.
And growing as we grow, as we interview people, and then people that listen, they have the benefit and the blessing to learn something new, to maybe help their life, help somebody they know in their lives. You know, it's a bigger platform than just having people come on and talk about what they do. Because, you know, sometimes that can be misconstrued as something else, but it is not. If you know that this guy did 15 years in jail, or this guy was a drug addict and now he's changing the community, he's talking to kids, this guy's using his music to build up kids, it's showing hope, it's giving hope, it's giving a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And we get so caught up in living our lives that we forget about the hope and possibility, and things can change, and people are out there doing things, even though they're not getting notarized on television, or they're not on, you know, they're not on the main, you know, on the news or whatever the case may be. But these are just like everyday people making a conscious choice to do whatever they know how to do to give back, to make it better for other people. You know, we had a young girl on here that I'll never forget her. I think she was from Louisiana as well. And she had been through and still going through a lot of personal challenges. However, that girl never stopped giving out to giving back to other people. Stuff like that, to me, is inspiring. Those are the kind of heroes that our community needs to know that exist, because you don't have to have a bunch of PhDs. They're nice. I know how the world works. But you can just be a regular, everyday person and make a difference. And that's what I think this show is really about. This is what I believe it was built on from the original days, that is about everyday people taking a stand to make a difference in their community and sharing that information will hopefully inspire somebody else to say, what can I do?
Right, right. And that was the intention of expanding. I don't know if I told you, but I got contacted by two other states that wanted to come on. It was a gentleman contacted me from Mississippi, and he wanted to come on the show. I mean, not on the show. He wanted to be a host for Uplifting Community Talk Show because he loved what we was doing. And I had another gentleman contacted me from Texas. Matter of fact, he recommended.
John, I may cut you off, but sometimes you got to walk in faith. You know, when someone, I always say, when people, everybody that come to you, it's a trial and error. I don't think really like giving it up is always the best answer, but I do think that it's a trial and error, because we have to step out on faith, and we're going to have some bumps. We're going to have some disappointments. We're going to have some setbacks. But if we stop moving in faith, then we block our blessings too. You know, and I get where you're coming from as far as, you know, feeling that kind of way. And I get it 110%. But we are both faith people. And because we are faith and we believe that what we're doing is something that God has given us the ability to do, we have to continue, I think, and this is just my opinion, have to step out on that faith. No, yes, we're going to get some hidden misses as far as host and things like that, but I think if God planted that in you, he planted that in you for a reason. So, and you know, again, no disrespect, but God planted that in you for a reason. So you walk on that faith, take the bumps and the bruises, take the dings and the dongs and whatever, and just keep going, because when it's right, God gonna bless it and it's gonna continue to go. It was never told to us that it would be easy. It never was told to us that it was gonna be perfect. So we have to allow the process to do what it does.
Yeah, you're right.
We cannot. Mm-hmm. Because we're giving up on God. Like, to me, that's like giving up on God. Like, and I don't think that people do things intentionally. Some people do, some people don't. But it should never stop us from doing our journey. And this is our journey. And I think if a young man from Mississippi came, and he really believes that that's what he wants to do, then I think sometimes that's what you're here for. You're here to teach it. You're here to be that mentor, to make sure those, you know, that young man does it. I know the young guy in Texas, you know, that is, you know, we are here to be those mentors. Now, whether they take the lesson or not, that is totally up to them. But I think by us expanding, it also teaches us too. You know, it's not going to always be easy. And we may not always choose the right people. We may get hoodwinked a couple of times. But that's okay. Because we're not quitting. And
right.
I think it gives other people an opportunity that may not get opportunities to get a voice for their community to have a voice. And that's more important to me than quitting or changing something that God has put in you to do because it doesn't, it's not going the way we might want it to go.
Right.
And
right.
I just thought,
well, you,
I mean, because God made the idea for me.
Thank you, because I needed to hear that, because I was kind of like feeling some type of way for the last past 3-4 weeks, you know, about the show. A few times I just ready to give it up, you know, and I guess it's okay, you know, to talk about this on the radio. You know, I guess it's okay. You know, a lot of people, they want to be professionals on the radio, but they don't want to be real. And I try to be as real as I can, you know, and it disturbs me when I open up the door for other people, hoping that they're going to go ahead on and do the right thing. And then all of a sudden they just, you know, their agenda is something else.
But that's not on you, John. That's on them. That has nothing to do with you. You're only responsible for doing what God told you to do. You're not responsible for what somebody else does. And that's just how I live. I'm not responsible for anything else but what Jack A does, Miss J does. I'm not responsible for anybody else's actions or behaviors. I am responsible for my own. And when we get in a place where we take... That's why I love the book, The Four Agreements. I'm going to get that to you and send it to you. The Four Agreements, one of the principles there is do not take life personal. And I think that when we start living, taking life personal, instead of, I always say this, I want to grow through life instead of go through life. And when we take life personal, we're just going through life. But when we are going through life, we understand things happen. We thank them for the lesson, and we keep it moving.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and maybe this is a subject that, you know, we didn't plan on having this subject because we thought we'd have a guest today, but it's no big deal. But you have to be open to all the lessons, and it does not necessarily mean it's going to be the lesson that make you feel good. Or a lesson that make you feel good about your decisions, or a lesson about, you know, you just being right. Sometimes you have to accept whatever lesson it is, take it, grow from it, and keep it moving. And bless them on their way. And thank God that he showed you sooner than later. Sometimes you just have to live with stuff. You got to go through it. You got to grow through it. And you, when we have certain behaviors and actions, so that it also blocks our blessing. We get in our own way. So I always say when a person quits, they get in their own way because that's a form of giving up. Or,
yeah.
You know, I don't believe in that. Even if I got to do it by myself, even if I don't have nobody in my family or friends understand where I'm coming from, I got a message. I got to keep it moving. I got to do what that message told me to do. You know, and I say welcome, you know, Tennessee, Nashville, whatever they are, Texas, whoever, because that young person or that person is going to bring something that we may not have. You know what I mean? And so what if somebody else is shady? Doesn't mean everybody's shady. You know what I mean? And I don't judge people, everybody on one person's behavior.
Okay, I don't mean to cut you off, but we only got like 40 seconds left before the show is over with, so you can close us out.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you guys for joining us today. I know we got a little on the little personal side, but it's always good to talk and get stuff out and share thoughts, so we appreciate you joining us today. Hopefully you'll join us next week. We should have a guest, and we're going to keep moving forward. And whatever we do, we thank God for the opportunity, and we thank you for being part of it. So you guys have a blessed evening.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Okay.